Hello, guys. Welcome back to Financial Flex with Lex. It's your girl, Alex. Let's change the way we talk about money and life and everything else. Happy Tuesday, guys. Told you guys, I'm really trying to be consistent. So it's Monday night and I was literally about to dive right into bed. And then I'm like, wait, I need to record the intro for this week's show. And I was like, I can do it when I wake up tomorrow. Absolutely not. So now I'm sitting here at my desk recording this for you guys. To be honest, I really don't have much going on in my life right now. I mean, like, I feel like you guys know everything. I'm just working. I have decided that I really need to like learn a new skill, like both professionally and personally. So on the professional side, I need to sign up for some classes just to, I don't know, like design classes or something, because I feel like that would be really useful given my career in marketing. And it's like, I know my way around, but I could definitely be better. And then personally, I want to learn another language. And at first I was like, oh, I really want to learn Spanish. And I still do. But I've been binge watching this UK podcaster named Madam Joyce, and she's a British Nigerian. And for those of you guys who don't know, I'm half Nigerian, half Ghanaian. And I don't know, all of a sudden I'm like, I really want to learn how to speak Igbo. So I'm thinking about maybe trying to learn. And for those of you guys who don't know, Igbo is a tribe in Nigeria, and it's also like a language that they speak. So yeah, I think it would be really cool. Yeah, I don't know. That was really random of me to share, but that just goes to show that I really don't have much going on in my life right now. Oh, wait, I'm planning on traveling next week. I'm going to Mexico to celebrate my 30th birthday, and I'm counting down the days. I am so excited. But then on the flip side, all of my friends are turning 30 this year and everybody wants to go out the country to celebrate. And I'm like, oh my gosh, my bank account literally cannot handle this. So I am trying to be very strategic and figure out how I can do all the things and all the celebrations and, I don't know, not live in a cardboard box, but we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, and then also my dad, he's turning 60. So my sisters and I are trying to do something fun for him because that's like a big milestone birthday too. And yeah, I don't know. It's just a lot of good things though. Not mad at it. And speaking of good things, today's episode is a very good thing. And I'm so, so excited to introduce this week's guest. So I will stop blabbing and let's get into today's episode. Alana Green is a freaking queen, and honestly, I could just end the intro right there, but I'm going to keep going. I met Alana back in college. We were in the same sorority. She was a year above me, but I've just always have looked up to her. I think that she's just so smart. She's so athletic. Like, she's just all the amazing things that I just aspire to be, honestly. And more importantly, like, I think her journey is just such a unique one. And I hope this episode really inspires anyone who's looking to pivot into a new role, a completely new industry. I hope that Alana's story proves that it is possible for you to pivot. You may just have to, you know, approach things a little bit differently. On today's show, she talks about her journey from switching from higher education into tech. She even, you know, took about like almost a year off just to kind of like reset after experiencing burnout, which I thought was a really interesting piece of her story. And I just had like the best time chatting with her. And I really hope you guys enjoy today's episode.
All right. Hi, my name is Alana. I am currently working in the fintech space. I'm 30, which we'll talk about. I also have a background in education. So I moved from education to tech for the workspaces. And I also have a background in personal training. So I am a personal trainer and I do some nutrition stuff on the side.
Wow. AKA, that means you're booked and busy all day, every day.
Trying to be. It's more of what it's like.
I love that. So before we jump right into our conversation, I do have an icebreaker. It's something that I do with all my guests just to kind of like, I don't know, loosen up the jitters or whatever. But what does a perfect day look like to you? Like, if you could just list out your perfect day, what would that consist of?
Well, waking up, obviously, at the I don't know if I'd want to wake up at an alarm. I wake up by an alarm every day at 4 a.m. So I'm like, maybe I'd let myself like sleep in a little bit. And sleeping in nowadays is like 6 a.m. So I will first off sleep in a little bit till 6 a.m. And then I would go to the gym, typically spend like 2 hours at the gym, come home and not go to work because that's not my perfect day. It's not included in it by any means. I might do some shopping online, watch some TV, and honestly just like hang out, cook a little bit, relax for the day. I'm not a big like stay out all day type of thing person. I'm staying. So I'm gonna do a vibe all inside except for the gym.
I love that. I love how you casually said, like, I wake up at 4 a.m. Like, I am trying to so hard to be a 6 a.m., 6:30 girly. The way I cannot, like, my body will not allow me. So how do you wake up at 4 a.m. every day? And why? Is it to, like, go to the gym before work?
Yes. So I used to go to the gym after work. When I was working in education, I was academic advisor at a university. I would go to the gym after work. Ended up getting, like, just being too busy. Like there were just too many people. It was crazy. So I was like, let me try to be a 4 a.m. girly. I'm going to try it out, see what the vibe is. It was hard at first. It was so hard because it's like, you're trying to go to sleep at like a really reasonable time, but your body's still kind of at the, you know, wake up at a normal time to like go to bed at like maybe 10 p.m. or whatever that looks like for you. That's what it was for me. Wake up at like 6. And then I was like, I have to do it. So I started going to bed earlier and earlier. So like now I'm literally like 8:30. And that's like super early, but it's like, I need my 8 hours because I will not wake up. So it's literally for the gym is primarily what it's for. And then after work, I can honestly just like hang out and go to bed.
That is so crazy. And this is how I know you're very much a high achiever, because instead of being like, yeah, like let me wake up at 6 a.m., like 4 a.m., that's wild. That's amazing though.
Yeah, it is what it is for now. Like I really like it now, but obviously that could change. What I think helped is that my boyfriend also, when I met him, we met in the gym at 4 a.m. like in the morning. So it's kind of like meeting him, continuing to date, like that was just our routine. So like now it's kind of just like second nature to us at this point.
I love that. Wow, maybe I should wake up at 4 a.m. to go to the gym. Maybe I'll find someone.
That's your like truest self. That's like when they're going to see you likely without makeup. Okay, I'm not pulling up to make with makeup in the gym, honestly, at like 4 a.m. So if you like me at 4 a.m., you're definitely going to like me later on throughout the day when I actually look like a human being. Yeah.
I love the logic. Not even dabbled, but I feel like your career, like you've just been in like so many different industries, I feel like, and you graduated 2015, right?
Yeah, so long ago now.
I know. Oh my gosh, it's almost like 10 years. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So can you, like, if you had to sum up your career journey in one word since graduating, what would that be?
I'd probably say evolutionary. And the reason that evolutionary, because I feel like everything that I've done has helped me to evolve into like the next step into my career. So I started in education. I loved that experience being an academic advisor. It was very fun until it wasn't. I burned out, and it's not hard to burn out in higher ed or honestly any job, but academic advising, like you're a lot of mental health comes into it with like your students. Like you're not just getting through the academic situation. So I wanted to get into more of like the technology side, but work with like educational adjacent company. That's what I did. So I got to evolve into that type of role. Then I found another opportunity that like was even better for me and better paying, which obviously to me was like, this is what I need. And then I was able to evolve into the next step of that career in fintech. So I moved over from edtech to fintech and kind of took a break, and now I'm back into fintech. But everything has been like me evolving into the next chapter of my life is what I would say.
I love that. It sounds like you've done a lot of pivoting.
Oh, 100%. And some people would say it's too much pivoting, but I think I'm not at this like crazy age. I'm 30. I literally got out of grad school at 2018. So it's not like I was working since 2015. It's kind of just been trying to figure out like what's next and honestly just focusing on like the next year as opposed to the next 10 years of my life, because I'll just continue to evolve.
Right. So like, have you, I'm assuming you've come across people who have been like, you're moving around too much, you need to stay in one spot. Like, has like, have you had like those conversations with people or?
Yeah, I've had it with people who know me, but I've never had that conversation with like a recruiter. To be completely honest, like I've never had a recruiter be like, oh, like, you know, you're on to your next opportunity. It's kind of like, okay, like, why are you on to your next opportunity? Whereas people who know me or have heard of like my journey, they'd be like, oh, like that's kind of soon, like to be leaving. But, and my dad was one of those people who said that, but now he does also understand. I think the life of like working in general has changed a lot since like our parents were younger. It's not as the company loyalty isn't there. It's, you know, you're not wanting to stay there for 100 years and only grow your salary by like 3%. So it's trying to get people to understand that this is just where I want my life to go. And this is where I see my next step. And if it's not the right choice, if it's a mistake, then I will learn that. And that's, you know, I have to learn in some capacity.
Right. I love that. I feel like I have so many thoughts swirling in my head right now. So like, let me get this straight. I definitely agree with you about like, staying in a job and only having your salary increase by like, wait, 1, 2, maybe 3%. There's a study and I can't like quote it verbatim, but I know that like, it's like every 2 years, like it suggested that you do move around, because it's like, if you're someone that stays with the company for like 20, 30 years, I think what you lose like 50% of like your earning potential or something like that. Like it's some crazy number that like, at the end of the day, like it could be like hundreds of thousands or maybe even millions of dollars you're missing out on just by staying loyal to one company. And also too, yeah, like you said, those days of our parents where you stay at a job for like 25, 30 years and like retire at it, it doesn't exist. I think. So
I would agree.
Yeah. Which is sometimes like a little daunting to like think about, because it's like, oh my gosh, am I constantly going to be on the hunt for a job for like the next like 50 or whoa, not 50 years, but the next 20, 30 years. Like, I'm sorry, what? But I mean, just roll with the punches, I guess.
I fully agree with that. And it's just the changing landscape. It's just, especially now too, with like all the layoffs that have happened within the past couple of years, it's even worse that it's the way that it's changing. And even looking at salaries now from like even 2020, when like things were booming, like they're very different in just like a couple of short years.
Yeah. Very, very different. So what you touched on it a little bit, but what prompted you to pivot from higher education to tech? Like, can you talk me through the, like, I guess defining moment where you were like, all right, like I love being a support to these kids, but I got to put me first and I got to dip.
Oh, 100%. So there was like a moment that I feel like in higher ed that I was like, and it wasn't even a moment. I will say it was months of me being like, I just can't do this every day. Like, I can't wake up and do this every day. And one of my counterparts, another girl that I worked with, same age as me, we started the job at the same time. She started feeling the exact same way. And like, it was to the point where like, you would go home and cry sometimes. Like, it was just so frustrating. It was just like, and nobody knows these things, because like, I'm not going to sit here and tell people about like how I'm feeling, how this experience has been. So I found out about tech actually from like a Facebook page. There's a Facebook page for like expats or people who want to move from higher ed to other industries. And they did like career panels. And one of them was about like tech and different opportunities within tech. And I was like, oh, that's literally exactly what I do. It was customer success. It was exactly what I do with students, except it'd be switching, you know, and working with actual administrators of like programs and stuff. I was like, I could do that. And so that's when I started applying and looking at different opportunities. And I was like, this makes sense. And this will be my first hop into the tech space. I had no idea it would lead me to where I am today, but it was like, if I could do that, I can probably work at any tech company that would be open to hiring me. Honestly, I'm growing my skills.
Right. So I would love if you could touch on how you, I'm using this like in quotes, like sold yourself to like either the recruiter or the hiring manager
who was like interviewing you for that role in tech? Because there are a lot of people who are wanting to, especially tech, but just, I think this could be said for any industry, who are wanting to switch careers, like whether they're burnt out, they're bored, want to try something new. But I feel like a lot of the times what prevents people is like they have trouble trying to figure out how do my skills in this job, in this industry, transfer over to this job and this role and this industry. Like, they have trouble selling themselves. I feel like I've learned that in the, like when I was interviewing, like all an interview is, like in my mind, is you selling yourself as to like why you're the best candidate for this role. So could you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah. So the first jump that I had was, like I said, into ed tech. I think that was the biggest piece for me, is jumping into something that was adjacent to an industry that I was already in. So it was literally like, I had already worked with students. I had already worked with administrators, staff, faculty, whatever, at every level of the university. So I could do this and just helping them implement technology, because I've already worked with them. I understand their landscape. I understand their experiences. I know what their students are experiencing, and I can help them to, our solution was like gamifying student development. So it's like, I get that whole piece of it. Like, so one thing I would recommend people consider is, if you're wanting to go into tech, going into the industry of tech that like is familiar with your background. So if you have a background in hospitality, going into a tech company that focuses on hospitality, that's where I've seen the most success. And then honestly, when you get into tech, I think it's easier to move around. But I think it's that first jump in getting into tech. And that was a big part for me. Another thing that I did to help sell myself is I talked everything in relation to the company and the value I would bring to it. And then in their terms, I use no terms, and like, I use them in the education adjacent role of like, you know, students and stuff, because all the terms are similar. But when I moved into FinTech, I had to change my whole, like all the jargon that I was using, so it would be specific to that industry. So if you can speak to the industry, I think that's half the battle. And if you can also just go into an industry that's similar to what you worked with, I think that's the other half. I would say those two things are the biggest pieces.
Yeah, those are really good pieces of advice. Okay, so you got your undergrad degree in 2015. What made you decide to go and get your master's? And do you think it was worth it for you? And then I'll save my other question after you answer this first one. So yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to get my master's because I wanted to work in higher ed. And that was the way in. It's honestly all higher ed positions, a majority that I was interested in, wanted you to have the degree, the grad degree, the master's in higher education. So that's the reason I did it. And I had actually talked to a lot of professionals before I chose to go that route. And we talked about my career goals, where I saw myself going. And honestly, where I saw myself was the president of an institution, ideally a community college. That obviously changed a lot. But that's where I originally saw myself. And that's kind of the vibe I was going for. That's what got me into higher education. I was between two grad programs, to be completely honest. And one was higher education administration. The other was industrial and organizational psychology. And IO Psych is huge with like human behavior and development. And I could have gone a lot of different avenues with that I think might have been more beneficial to me. But at the time, I wanted to do higher ed. So I was only like, I was kind of laser focused as to this is what I want to do. I think it was, I talk to my dad about this all the time. And I'm like, I think it was worth it because it gave me a new experience and it gave me ideas and opportunities that I don't think I would have had if I didn't go to grad school. The hard thing is though, I had an internship before I went to grad school and they were literally ready to give me an offer. And it was in more of like learning and development, which probably would have been more interesting to me now than it was back then. But I obviously said no. I would say if I'm thinking back now, maybe not. But back then I thought it would be worth it. So I wouldn't go back now. Like if it was me back then now and what you know now, I wouldn't go back. But
right.
They always say kind of hard to answer that.
No, I mean, they say hindsight is 2020, but honestly though, if you didn't go to grad school, who knows, you may not be where you are today. So it's just like a, I guess, a perspective like it could be worth it, it could be not. Do you think it was worth it financially?
So I didn't pay for grad school. So I was very lucky. I had my assistantship. I didn't have to pay for it. I literally only paid two classes out of pocket because one was a summer class and the other class, I think, was like my third year or something like that. I only paid a couple of classes out of pocket. So, and I lived at home. So I commuted. I was able to work there. I got a stipend for working there. So I had no debt coming out of grad school. So if that's part of like it being worth it, I would say yes. And like you said, it brought me to where I am today. So yes, I can't say anything about the financial part.
Oh, wow. What's an assistantship?
So it's where you kind of like trade your time to pay for tuition. So I had to work, I think it was like 20 hours a week. So it wasn't even that bad. And then I had three classes a semester. So 20 hours a week, three classes a semester, and they pay for, I think it was up to like 9 credits a semester, which was the recommended max that I had at the time. I think it was like 9 credits, three classes or something, mm-hmm. but they paid for it. So basically I work for them and then they pay for that. And then they also give me like a stipend. So a certain amount every 2 weeks for me to go off of. But I think if I had lived at like near the college, like I didn't choose to live at home, it would have obviously been way more expensive.
Right. What's the number one thing you would tell someone to consider before getting a graduate degree?
I think number one is, what doors do you think that grad degree is going to open for you? Because it depends on what you want to do. Like for me, I was like, I want to do academic advising. And so this is literally that's going to open the door for me. And at the time, like I want to continue forward. I wanted to get my EdD at the time too, at some point. I think it's really just, what doors is it going to open for you? And if there are no specific doors, or if there are specific doors, whatever that looks like, also, can I do this without a degree? Can I literally learn from like YouTube, or can I learn from Google? Can I learn this without a degree and put it into practice or not? Because if I can, I'm probably going to go that route. And if I can't, then maybe I'll consider the degree or even look at certificates. That's another big thing, is certificates are huge for people nowadays, and that you might not need an actual degree. Like project management certificates are bigger mm-hmm. than any degree that you could have for that experience.
Right. I almost feel like sometimes, like, especially when you find yourself like fresh out of undergrad and you're applying to jobs and you're not getting anything, I feel like sometimes we like panic apply to grad school because we're like, no doors are opening. Like, I'm just going to go to grad school and, you know, delay me entering the workforce. And I don't know, I feel like you said, I guess it just depends on like what your ultimate like outcome or like what you ultimately want to like pursue as a career. But sometimes I think like just keeping at it as far as like the job hunt goes, and like maybe you have to like accept a job that you're not like super thrilled about or whatever in the moment, but if you can find a way to use that to like the best of your advantage, I feel like sometimes like real work experience can be like better than any graduate degree. But I'm speaking as someone who only has like her undergraduate degree, and like I have considered going back to school, but honestly every job I've ever had, I'm like, I don't need my master's for this at all. And I feel like I'm learning more just by doing and being in this environment than I would in school.
Oh, 100%. And I think people discount the fact that you only need one person to give you a chance. You need one company to give you a chance. And then once they do, you have to excel from there and continue forward. But you literally just need one, even if it's not your dream job, like you said. And I don't know if everyone has a dream job, because I don't anymore.
Same.
But even if it's not what you really want to do, it gets you in the door to mm-hmm. that next step so that you can continue evolving. Yeah, I'd agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I think it's all just about being open and just, you know, knowing that like you're not going to be in this spot for forever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So as long as like your mental health and like your physical health isn't like deteriorating from the job, if you try to map out a game plan, like take it, run as far as you can with it. It has to be, I can't even remember when this was, but maybe like 6 months, whatever. But I was scrolling on LinkedIn and just mindlessly scrolling. And then I saw your post and you kind of just gave like a quick overview of what had been going on over the last couple of months. And I was like, this is the cool. Like, I was just like, Wow, Alana really is like, and for the, okay, well, for those of you guys listening, like me and Alana are in the same sorority and I've always like looked up to her. But like, I remember like reading the post and being like, Alana is just that girl, like, wow. So can you give like a brief overview of like what that post contained? What the post like contained of like your story, and then like we'll go from there.
Yeah, well, thank you for saying that first off. So in February 2023 is when it happened, but I think I posted about it in like June. But February 2023, I put in like 4 weeks or something with my full-time job, my full-time fintech job, great, great salary, great benefits, all of that, work from home, everything probably everyone would want. But it just ended up kind of leaving me empty. Like I didn't enjoy it at all. So that post was actually me saying, hey, you know, here's what I've been up to. I took time off from working full-time. I got my training certification. I started working and coaching at a like part-time job here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I won a bikini competition in bodybuilding, and I'm, you know, looking for my next steps in my next full-time job experience. And that's what the post was. I think it was June 2023, which is crazy to think about now. But yeah, I chose to leave my full-time job, and everyone was very shocked. My boss was very like, pulled him into our one-on-one, just normal vibes, and was like, hey, like, I don't want to do this anymore. This is just not for me. It was a crazy experience, I think, like ending that. And I don't think I ever posted about this, but, or Alex, I don't think you know this, but I actually had made like a TikTok and I talked about it on there.
It went viral?
It got 275,000 views, and people were like going insane. Like, it was basically, I was just documenting my last day at my last job. That was like it. It was like, I have meetings I have to go to, this and that, taking a walk, back to meetings, finishing up the day, closing the laptop, done. And it got like crazy comments of, so you probably can just find your next job super easy because of your race, your boyfriend is probably funding your lifestyle, all that stuff. It was a lot of like, are you a stay-at-home girlfriend now? All this stuff. It was all like, who is financing this experience? And to be completely honest, I like deleted that page soon after because I was just like, this is just too much attention. And my boyfriend jokes about it because he's like, this is your way into social media. And I was like, but I would have had to talk about this every single day and had people like in these comments, like on my neck. And at the time I was like, I can't deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. So yeah, that happened too.
Oh my gosh. That is one thing about TikTok. They're going to be in your business. They're going to want to know everything. I am not surprised. Oh my, that's sick. Dang, you could have started your little content creator. You could have been an influencer. I could see you doing that.
Oh yeah. Could have. I thought about it, but man, like I was creating content like normal and people were watching it. Like people were really vibing with it. I was getting like thousands of views on a regular basis. It's great. But I just kept thinking so much about it. And I was like, at some point, like, I'm just curating this lifestyle that's like not even how I'm feeling anymore, just because of like what I feel like I have to post on here. And it was like, I just can't, I'm not showing up my true self. Like right now, can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. Yeah.
That's fair. You said that you weren't feeling fulfilled in your job. Like what, like, can you put to words like what that feeling was like for you? Was it kind of just Sunday evening, you were like dreading going to work? Were you anxious? Like, or were you just like doing the work and just feeling uninspired? Like what exactly was it that was just leaving you unfulfilled?
Oh yeah. I was very unhappy. So I was in a customer facing role. I was a customer success manager at a fintech company. So all customer facing. So it would be lots of meetings with customers, with of course my managers and all of that. Lots of escalations that would happen. I've been scolded like by VPs of companies, and I don't think people understand. I don't care what position you are at your company. Like, still a normal human being, but it just wasn't enjoyable. Like talking to people, I was just like, this sucks. Like, I don't enjoy this industry. And it was like with fintech, it was the commission side. So it was like commission management. So working with pretty much those who were working with their commissions at the time. So like anyone in sales pretty much. So it was like the higher ups of that. I didn't enjoy the conversations. the product was very confusing. So it was sometimes hard to learn. I will say I was good at my job and like I got really great feedback all the time, good to go. But when you are, I would say, someone who typically does well in different opportunities and you feel like you're doing terribly because you're not fully understanding the product or the experience that we're providing, it's hard to go day by day. And then you're not getting the support internally that you need to externally be better, like to, you know, your clients and stuff and show them that, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. So I would say it was a lot of conversations that I didn't want to have anymore. It was too customer facing for me. Like I would go on meetings on meetings on meetings on a daily basis. And I was just really burnt. Some days I didn't get a lunch and I think that's normal in like certain industries. I didn't want that to be my normal. So
right.
It was just a lot. It was just a lot of unhappy times, to be honest. Like I had a coworker that I worked with and her and I were both like, are we going to make it to our 1 year? And that's like how bad it was. And I made it to a year in like 4 months and I could have obviously made it longer, but like, and she was done after like a year, I think. And we both were just like, this is just unbelievable. Like it was just not ideal.
Yeah, no, I had a similar experience. Like when I worked in entertainment, I was working at an influencer agency and I was working on the music side. So I was always talking with like higher ups, these like major like record labels. And it's the way that they speak to you sometimes, it's like, mm-hmm. relax. Like,
yeah,
I get that you have this like fancy title and you work for this big company, but at the end of the day, like I'm a human, you're a human, like let's not yell. And I understand the feeling of just like, as someone who typically excels in whatever role that they do, feeling like you're just like floundering or like just like not doing well in your role and like going home, like crying all the time. I get that. Cause yeah, that job at day three, I was like, yeah, no, I think I made a mistake. And I actually went back to my old job and was like, can I get my job back? And they were like, oh, cute. No. So I stuck it out for another like 7-8 months until I was able to find something else, which is, yeah, I pivoted into fintech after that. And I was like, okay, cool. But yeah, girl, I feel you. It's taxing. I feel like it takes a toll.
It does. It's just a crazy time. And it, like you said, like just treating you like a human, it's not hard. Mm-hmm. It's just not hard. And I'm like, did you forget? Like what it's like to just work with people?
Right. It's insane. Yeah. But I would love to know like what, like how did you prepare? Like did you prepare for like you leaving like financially? Were you like, okay, like I have good enough savings to like live off of for X amount of months until I have to start looking again? Cause you also, it sounds like you quit this job, but you also actually had all this time to pursue like your passions, like just like diving deeper into fitness. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So financially, that was something that I had actually talked to my dad about. So my dad's big into finances. My dad has a financial background. So when I even started working, like we were big on like savings since I was younger. So like when I had part-time jobs, I was big into savings, figuring out like what to do with that money, and really started investing when I got into, when I finished grad school. Yeah. I think that was the first time like I had invested in like different shares of stocks. Financially, I will say like that job paid me very well. And I actually, my last paycheck included my bonus too. So that was super helpful in preparing me. But I will say like, to be completely honest, I didn't need that. My savings behind me and investments are pretty heavily built. And this is like, not even like a brag thing, but like, I didn't have to worry about money. I just knew I wouldn't. I knew what I had behind me. And then I knew if I needed to dip into my savings or anything that I would do it. And I actually only had to dip a little bit. So it wasn't too bad. Cause then I started working part-time at those two fitness companies. And that gave me a little bit of income. Actually helped to cover, I'm not gonna say my full rent, but it covered like part of it. But I always paid my bills on time. But yeah, financially it was honestly just that. I will say I probably wasn't the best person to talk to, be like, oh, preparing for this financially. Like I wasn't like, oh, 12 months ahead of time, I need to save X amount of money. Mm-hmm. I think I'd already been doing that without even thinking like, oh, I'm going to do it for this. But mm-hmm. I just typically save my money. The one thing I probably would have done differently is spend a little bit less on like random Amazon things that I literally just didn't need, you know, like things you just buy just because.
Yeah. Did you ever suffer from feeling like you made a mistake by quitting your job and feeling like, oh my gosh, like I'm behind on life or in life?
Yes. And I think I felt that way because when I quit, honestly, the weirdest thing, the next week, I had literally gotten an email from one of the jobs that had reached out to me like months before and was an experience that I probably would have enjoyed too. And they were like, hey, you know, we're hiring for this again. I understand, like, we really liked you last time, wanted to talk to you again. And the only reason last time it didn't work out, because I was like, I'm not going to leave my job for that. And I was like, no, I'm good. And honestly, it's kind of like one of those, I probably could have a job in a week that I probably would have preferred, but I wanted to take time off, like really take time to unplug and like not be in the whole like corporate tech brain mindset at all. Like wanted to give myself time. I struggled with thinking that I wasn't good enough and I wasn't even looking at jobs at the time. I felt like even though I had chosen to leave my full-time job, it felt so weird when people would ask me about it or just ask me anything. I was just like, this is a weird experience. Like I'm not working full. And I realized that I was tying my worth to my job, like to being in employed. And it was like, my boyfriend had to bring me back to earth like multiple times. He was like, Alana, you literally just chose this. Like you're working part-time. It's not like you're not doing a single thing on earth. Like you're trying to figure out what's next for you, all of that. Mm-hmm. But I literally, and that's what I learned. I tied my worth to literally my job. And I experienced that, I think, throughout the whole time. So I didn't have a full-time job for 8 months in total. And it was a crazy time. I had actually gotten a job in June. I will rephrase that. But then that's a whole nother thing. I stayed for 3 days, Alex. And it was a red flag walking every day of my life that I was in that job. I can't even explain to you how crazy it was. And everybody is like, oh my gosh, that's insane. So anyways, I tied my worth to that job. And I think that was the biggest problem. That's the biggest thing that I would say to people. I realized that as they're getting laid off, and I understand that wasn't my experience, but a lot of people are tying their worth to their job. And it's like, you are not, your job is like nothing to do with your work. Your job is just like something you do. And I know it's the majority of the time, but I had to learn that like, it's literally not who I am. It's just something I do to live my life.
Yep. Speak on it. I had that same realization when I got laid off in June, July, last summer. And well, I was just coming off of being divorced, got laid off. And I'm like, these two major titles, like being like a wife and having a job or like being an employee somewhere, I was like almost having like a crisis because I realized I'm like, I'm attaching like so much of my being, my self-worth into these things. And like, I took, you know, the next couple of months to just figure out like, who is Alex like outside of these things? Like, what do I like to do? What do I want to do? Like, what value do I provide like outside of just making another, like making a company money? Like, how can I be of service to others and like make an impact? So yeah, it's really like liberating once you realize that like, okay, like I am not my job. Like it doesn't have any value. Cause yeah, especially when you go through a layoff, you start to feel like, oh my gosh, like, was there something I could have done better? I'm disposable. Like maybe I should pick up new skills or something just like, you know, be seen as valuable. But at the end of the day, like layoffs happen every day. It doesn't like, has nothing to do with you. It's simply just business and money. That's all it boils down to. Doesn't, you know, that's it. So, I mean, I know we had like different experiences, but I can definitely relate on the fact of being like, crap, like, well, like, who am I? What, like, why am I tying so much of my value and self-worth to this thing? Like, this is not good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I think when you realize that you're not like, your worth has nothing to do with your job, it's like a really liberating experience to be like, okay, I'm only doing that to like live my lifestyle. Like I'm not doing it because it's like, this is my 24/7. Like this is when I die, they're going to put that on my tombstone. I'm going to put that like whatever. Like, no, nobody's even going to remember. And nobody's going to remember probably the things that you even did when you were there. And that was a whole other thing.
Exactly. So what are the two biggest things you learned about yourself during your time off?
I learned that I'm stronger than I think that I am or that I thought I was, and that I can get through anything. The stronger piece, I think, big mentally. It was a big like mental game, like I said, during that 8 months. Even if it was like my choice, it felt like everyone's eyes were on me and nobody cared. You know what I'm saying? Like nobody's eyes were on me. It just felt like it. And I was putting this crazy pressure on myself to try to do something and try to get back into a career that I didn't want to be in. So I learned that like I'm stronger than I really thought I was. My parents, my boyfriend, my brother really, really got me through that time. And I think if you have a really strong support system, truly, you can get through a lot more than you think you can. You can lean on more people than you think you can. You don't have to do everything alone. I think that's the thing for me, is that I really realized that like my community really showed up for me when I needed it, just to be in a better mental space. Mm-hmm. So I would say those two pieces.
I love that. I just interviewed another person on the podcast and we briefly touched on community. And I think that because we are in such a digital online space and we throw the word community around so like loosely on there, it's like, oh, we're building community. It's like, no, you're actually just building up this like fan base for us to like sell to and make you money. Yeah. But like, so that's like not really community. So I feel like online we're losing like the true meaning of that. And I think like this last year I experienced what true community is like in person. And that experience is just so valuable, because I remember speaking to a friend and I was like, online, if you disappear, like if you go ghost, like go dark for like 6, 7, 8 months on social media, for the most part, no one's really going to be checking for you like that. Like, you know, like everyone goes about their day, like whatever. But like, let's just say, I don't know, whether it's at the gym or whatever club you're a part of, and you go, like, they see you. They're like, okay, I see Alana and Alex like every day, whatever. And then all of a sudden you just stop going. I feel like more than likely someone's going to like check in on you and say, hey, like, missed you. Like, where you been at? Like, whatever. Like, I don't know. I just, mm-hmm. I think that like having community, like physical community, people that you can go to and talk to in person and just like be open and vulnerable is like so great, because you really don't know what opportunities could present itself. Like when I was going through my layoff, like there were people at my church that I was just like, hey, like, yeah, I'm looking for something. I just got laid off. And then I think that very week, like someone was able to give me like a temp job. It was just like for like a week or something, but that money came in handy. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, just like relying on your community, like and making more of an effort to like do that in person instead of just like being online all the time.
100%. That's why I think it's important to really open up to people. I mean, you don't have to open up to everybody, but like,
yeah,
have a core circle of people around you that really do understand you and you can go to in those times, and one that you don't feel like you're a burden to. Because I could see people being like, I have this community, but, or like this circle of people, but I feel like a burden. It's like,
yeah,
they don't know what's going on. So like, nobody can help you unless you kind of put it out there a little bit.
Exactly. And I always like to ask, because I am someone who like I start to feel like a burden, like I hate feeling like that. So before I start bawling to you on the phone, I'm like, hey, do you have the capacity to handle like what I'm about to dump? And if they're like, sure, I'm like, all right, let's run it. And if they're like, actually, no, I'm going through my own thing, I'm like, thank you so much for telling me, it is fine. Yeah. And I just like find someone else to like who can like hold space for me in that moment, because like I understand that feeling of, you know, feeling like you're a burden sometimes. It's like, so I get it.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point, actually, because I am the same way. Like I will ask people now. One of my best friends, she's a mental health like therapist. And so obviously she's got a lot going on. So it's like, I don't want to dump on you, and then like you figure out who you can actually talk to. And it's not a problem if they say like, hey, I've got a lot going on right now. It's just understanding mm-hmm. that too. I fully agree with you.
Exactly. So I have two more questions for you. When did you decide that it was time to re-enter the workforce? And like, was it difficult for you at all to, you know, land something full-time? Especially now, like this last year, I feel like I've just seen more layoff posts and mm-hmm. just more job uncertainty than ever. So I feel like it can be a little daunting thinking about re-entering the workforce, because it's like, what the heck? It seems like no one's hiring. Like, what even is this job market?
Oh, 100%. And especially now, like when I looked on LinkedIn, like this past week, even like it's still like layoff after layoff, and it's just crazy. There's less remote jobs and there's a mm-hmm. lot going on in like all the industries. So for me, it took me I knew I was ready to jump back in when I felt like refreshed and I felt like, okay, I feel pretty good. And honestly, part of that, I think for me, was like going to church every Sunday, like praying about everything, trying to figure out like how I was feeling, journaling more often, paying more attention to myself that I should have been paying attention to while I was honestly working. So I think when I felt like refreshed, I was like, okay, I'm ready to jump back into it. It was definitely tough at first to be like, okay, because part of me is like, what do I want to do? Like, it was still one of the reasons that I did leave my last tech job is also because like I wanted to figure out what I wanted to do next, because it wasn't what I was doing. And a lot of the jobs I was even looking at, it was like, okay, well, my brain, I think, was just like wired to be like, you've done this before, you can do it now, even though you got burnt out from it last time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking at all those same types of jobs. And I did end up realizing that, okay, I might have to re-enter in a similar type of experience in more client facing, and then try to get into whatever company it is, and then move internally after a little bit. And that's exactly what I'm doing now, but it took me a little bit to really land something. I started looking early June, I'll say. I did end up getting something late June, starting that July, and really left in 3 days, like I told you. I had like multiple interviews, not a ton, I'll say. Like I did get some. I turned down interviews for others. And then when I was finally like back into it after the 3 days, that was really frustrating. Cause it was like, damn, like I thought my search was over, you know, like I right. thought this was done. I thought I didn't have to do this again, jumped back into it again. And I think it was a couple of months. It was 4 months after that, or 3 months after that, that I actually landed something that I was interested in. Alex, the craziest thing, I had one that was really interesting and I was really excited about, because it was a product that I used in college. And I was super excited because I was like, this is back in an industry. Like, I understand. I understand the product. I've worked with it, whatever. Went through the whole hiring experience and they were like, I was in the final round, whatever. They ended up saying that they weren't hiring for the role anymore. And it was like, oh my Seriously? Gosh. And they were, yes. And then they were like, if we're hiring for it again, though, would you be open to discussion? And I was like, yeah. 2 months later, I get a new job and they literally reach out to me like the first week of my job. And they're like, hey, we have an opening on our team. We'd love to talk to you again. Like, want to move you straight to the hiring manager of that team. And I was like, no, I'm not going back. Like, really enjoyed that experience and great, but like, I think like this makes more sense for me.
I like to consider my podcast also when I have guests as like an audio diary. I think it's really cool to be able to like go back and listen to where you were in life like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. So if you could leave a message to yourself and play it in 5 years, what would you say?
I would say I'm really, really proud of you for everything you've done in life. You've done a lot more than you thought you would and thought you could, and you're worth a lot more than you thought you were 8 months ago or 10 months ago, whatever it was, almost a year ago now when you left your job. And it's all just led you to where you are now. And again, I'm really, really proud of you.
Thank you so much. Do you want to like drop your IG or whatever? Like if the people want to like follow you and like, cause she posts fitness content. I was shook when you posted your video of you doing like the 2-finger pull-ups, I was like, oh baby, I got to get in the gym today. I'm like, I need to work on my pull-ups. I was like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Okay. I had just seen the challenge on Instagram and I was like, let me just try it and see if I could do it. That was that video. But I have to say, Alex, I saw you've been in the gym lately and I was like, oh, she's looking good. Like, you've been glowing. I'm not going to lie. And I'm like, I'm going to tell you at the beginning when I first saw you tonight, but I was like, let me just wait.
Thanks, friend. But yeah, no, there are a few people that I know in like real life that are really into the gym that like motivate me and inspire me. And like one of them being is like you. So whenever I see you post or whatever, I'm like, all right, Alex, like let's get in there. And I want to take my fitness journey to like the next level, but it's just like getting myself in that mindset to do so. So
yeah, we'll see. No, take your time. So my Instagram for fitness is fit with a green with an E at the end. And I don't really use my personal that much. Just like keeping up with friends. So I'm going to throw the fitness one out there in case you want to follow.
Well, thank you.